is who is rock, God but the Lord? Our God. And who is a rock except our God?
Prepare yourselves. For the next hour, you will experience rock and roll for your soul. Music so intense, you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rocks, here is Pastor Alan Ward.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Rocks. I hope you're ready for another intense show today. The music we play here rocks your body, and the message will rock your soul. And that's what we like to do here on My Dad Rocks. You know, today we're going to talk about the truths contained in something that the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 21 through 31. He was having a conversation with the men of Athens, and he said this. He said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." You know, I'll take a break right now and just say, you know, everybody worships something. Everybody worships something because we were made to worship. That's why God made us. And, you know, it may not be a physical idol. It may be an idol of the heart. It may be something like money or sex or drugs or rock and roll or something. But we all worship something, and we were made to do so. And Paul tells them here they had a bunch of idols all throughout the city. And he said, hey, you know, I found this idol with the unknown God label on it. And let me explain to you who that is. And then he said this in verse 24, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed boundaries and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And then he said, "Being the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, or an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." And that man, of course, is Jesus Christ. Well, our first band is going to sing about the truth that God made the heavens and the earth. Here's Petra with "You Are I Am."
From the top of the mountains to the bottom of the sea, beginning of time through eternity,
you are all I am.
From the burning
Hey, that was Petra with You Are I Am. They sang that, the name of God, I Am. Where did that come from? Well, that came out of the book of Exodus chapter 3 when God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said this, Moses said this to God after God told him, I want you to go down there and get them out. He said this, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel and I'll say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, what if they ask me, what is his name? What am I going to say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. Now, God told Moses that I am, or in the Hebrew is Jehovah or Yahweh, was meant to be his memorial name. Well, what is a memorial? Well, a memorial is, you know, a plaque or a statue or a wall or something that we erect to remind us of certain places and certain people and certain events and the significance of them. And God said this name I am is going to be his memorial. Now, why did God choose to make his name a memorial? Well, you know, when you meet somebody and you get introduced to them and you hear their name, you automatically begin a file in your brain under that person's name, and you begin to associate physical attributes and moral character and experiences with that name. And it gets to, you know, to such a point that when you hear that name mentioned, you think of those character traits and those experiences you've had with somebody named that. And that's oftentimes why we don't name our children certain names, because, you know, one of us have known somebody by that name and we have a bad experience, or that person has a bad character and therefore you don't like that name. And that's how we do. Well, God wanted to attach special significance to his name, I Am. And he was going to do that by what he did in Egypt in delivering the children of Israel out of there. And God intended that that name would always remind his people of who he was and what he did and show how glorious he truly was. And, you know, God desires to be known. He wants us to know his name, to see how glorious he is. God ultimately revealed his glory through his son, Jesus Christ. In John 1:18, it says this, now no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, that's Jesus, he has explained him to us. You see, Jesus came to explain to us and to demonstrate who God was. And our next artist, Aging Elijah, sings a song about how awesome God is. It's called My Dad Rocks.
My Dad Rocks! My dad made the land and the sea, the sky full and the very end you breathe. That's right. He made the stars up in outer space. He put the constellations all in place. But he's the greatest in the galaxy. One day you will see. We'll be right back.
Miles Aging Elijah with My Dad Rocks. You know, God does rock. He is awesome, and there is no one like him. The Bible says in Psalms 89, 6 and 8, "For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." It's no wonder then that those who truly know God want to sing about him.
I'm growing tired of a mouth shut tight when all I want to do is tell the whole world about the man sitting at the right hand of the one in heaven. How could I sing about anything but him? He is the answer to the question. He is the cure for the infection.
Tree 63 there with a great song, The Answer to the Question. And they sang in that song that Jesus Christ is the answer to the question. He is the cure for the infection. He is all he says he is. What did Jesus say he was? Well, John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's what Jesus himself said. Apostle Peter said, echoing Jesus in Acts 4:12, he said this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Well, many people say, "Hey, that sounds really narrow-minded." Well, it is. It is narrow. It's narrowed down to one person. And that's what Jesus said. He's the one who claimed that. He's the one that said, that's his words, not mine. Those are Jesus' words. And if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if there is no other way to be saved but through his name, then as Tree 63 sang, how could we sing of anything else but him? And that's what our next group tells us that we should be doing, and that we should be singing for his glory. Here's Halo with Sing of His Glory.
Sing of His Glory.
It was Hello singing, Sing of His Glory. You know, we should not only just sing of His glory, we should live for His glory. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God expects us to live for Him and not for ourselves. He expects us to demonstrate that He is glorious in all that we do, even in the little things, the mundane things like eating and drinking. And you see, that's the reason why God is mad with mankind. It says in Romans 1:18 that the wrath of God or the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness
of man. Well, why is God mad? Well, he says in verse 21 of chapter 1 of Romans, he says, "For even though they knew God," that is, they knew there was a God, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks." And so we don't live in a way that tells everybody around us that God is awesome, that he's valuable, that he's special. We don't live to make much of him. We may say verbally ascribe that we'll say that God is worthy or that he's glorious, and we'll say a bunch of things like that oftentimes, but we don't live like he is, and that's what really counts. In Titus 1:16, Paul talked about those who profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. You see, we're basically practical atheists, and that is in Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," and he doesn't say it with his lips, he says it with his heart. His attitude is what the Bible means there. Most people, you know, will acknowledge that there is a God. You know, 80-something% of Americans believe in a God, but they don't live like there's a God. And that's the problem. See, that's what makes God mad. We all know there's a God because he's made it impossible not to know that. He's put it in the very fabric of creation. Psalm 19:1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." I mean, you know, God has made it where it's impossible for us not to know that he exists. That shows us that God is trying to get our attention, and that's what White Cross sings about. That was Pillar with "Open Your Eyes." You know, They sang, "Open your eyes. It's time you realize it's your own demise." You know, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And wisdom personified in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 says this in verse 36. "But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief," meaning Satan, "comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." When you play with sin, it's your own demise. You're hurting yourself. You're killing yourself. You're allowing the devil to destroy your life. Living for yourself leads to destruction. If we live for ourselves, we can only expect eternal pain and sorrow. That's the Bible has a warning for those who refuse to open their eyes. It says in Romans 2:5-9, "But because of the stubbornness of your heart, an unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But for those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil." You see, when you live for sin, you are in fact rolling the devil dice.
Yeah.
It was Judah First with Devil's Dice. You know, some people get to the place where rolling the devil's dice, taking their life in their own hands, really isn't fun anymore, but they are out of control. They're addicted or whatever. They've given themselves so much over to the sin that it controls them now. And Idlecure sings a song about that called It's No Fun Anymore. Idlecure, It's No Fun Anymore. You know, if by God's grace you get to the place where sin is not fun anymore, where what you're involved in is it hurts now,
It's painful. It's a monster. It's out of control. If you get there, then all you have to do is confess your sins to God, to repent. Come back to that voice at the door, as they were singing. That's referring to Revelation 3:21. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come in to him. I will live with him, dwell with him. You know, Jesus is there. God calls to you every day. The day is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And it doesn't matter what you've done. If you will confess and forsake, stop living the way you're living and living for the things you're living for, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, lay your life down before him and say, take me, God. I want to live for you, not myself anymore. And God can free you from that. God, it doesn't matter what you've done. God can forgive you in Jesus Christ. The Bible says something very encouraging to us in Psalm 86:5. It says this, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." God is good and he is ready to forgive. He is waiting, ready to forgive, and he has abundant loving kindness towards anyone who will call upon him in truth and sincerity and lay their lives down before him, and he will save a person like that. And that's important that this verse is in the Bible. We need to know that God's ready to forgive, that Jesus Christ came, he said, to seek sinners, not the righteous. So, hey, if you're out there and it's not fun anymore and you're addicted to something and you want out, turn to Jesus Christ. You must surrender your life to Christ and he will free you and he will give you a whole new life. And it's important that we do that because God is keeping score, as our next band sings about. Here's Range of Angels with Somebody's Watching You.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching you, Rage of Angels. You know, God sees everything. He sees everything. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. You see, God knows it all. He's got it all recorded. Everything you've done, everything you thought that you never did, all the things you thought you got away with, God was watching, and He is watching right now. And we're going to, there's coming a day. He's fixed the day, as our opening verse said, that God has fixed a day in which He is going to judge the world in righteousness through a man through whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, as it says there in Acts 17. And there's coming a day we're going to give an account for that. And that's going to be a scary day. And Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that's going to take place when Jesus Christ returns. And many people are going to experience joy and eternal life, and others are going to experience sorrow and eternal destruction. Well, here's Rob Rock singing Fuel for the Fire.
Castles are burning.
Fuel for the fire. The wheels always turn.
Rob Rock, Fuel for the Fire. You know what? That comes out of the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 21, verses 31 and 32, God was speaking to the nation of Babylon, whom he had used as an instrument to judge Israel for their forsaking of him and worshiping idols. And they thought they were kind of arrogant. They thought that, well, God's called us to do this, and we're just going to do what we want to do. And they live for themselves. And God said this to them: "You will be fuel for the fire. Your blood will be in the midst of the land. You will not be remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken." God said that you're going to be fuel for the fire. And there are many people who living for themselves. They will be fuel for the fires of hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why I preach. And that's why I teach people about Jesus, so they can be saved from that awful destination. I don't want anybody to see that. I want to encourage you today. I'm going to play you out with Baron Cross and Here I Am, to do what Baron Cross says in this song. And I want to invite you also to come out to church at Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Bible study, 11 o'clock worship service, 7 o'clock on Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings we have service also. Here's Baron Cross with Here I Am.